Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome to another week, another episode of the Medicine Ball Podcast. You could have chosen to spend your time anywhere. You rock with me today. Thank you. I never take that lightly. Before we get into it, let my beat drop. Yes, yes, that's right. Welcome to Medicine Ball with your boy LS3 to be exact. And if you ain't in shape, at least your brain should be. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Medicine Ball Podcast, where we focus on giving your brain a six-pack by exercising your mind. Now, exercising your mind means that you actively think about and deal with all situations by first seeking to do anything other than what you are normally programmed and or comfortable in doing. Now, if you're someone who struggles and wants to get better at thinking about things beforehand, as opposed to reacting in ways that require less effort, well, just like anything you want to get better at, it does require training, practice, and work. Now, I'm well aware that thinking about things beforehand as opposed to responding off instinct does require effort. And who doesn't prefer things that are easy? Well, the first step, my friends, can be very easy. And that's to begin to look at all things from an unbiased point of view, which in itself will increase your curiosity in life. Now, exercising your mind won't give you all the answers. You will, however, begin to look at things with more peace, understanding, and patience, while simultaneously equipping yourself with more tools and strategies to help you effectively deal with this thing called life. Now, before we go any further, I'm no doctor, no psychiatrist, no psychologist. I have, however, been diagnosed with bipolar disorder level 1 for 16 years. And to be honest, I got to a point in my life where I was looking at the person I was becoming versus the person I wanted to be. And that, among other things, required me to look at my mental health responsibly. So whether or not you're diagnosed or know someone who's diagnosed or have symptoms or just want to know more about it, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're one of the many people who could just use some tips, tricks, and different ideas to help you get through day-to-day life. Pull up a seat, kick up your feet. This is your family, man. Welcome home, no judgment zone. This week's episode, season 6, episode 6, white caps, white boots. Gotta have them white boots. Let's get right into it. Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome to another week, another episode of the Medicine Ball Podcast. As I'm still living up adventures in Florida, man. It has been crazy, but I want to tap y'all straight into this week's episode, season 6, episode 6, white caps, white boots. Please like, subscribe, share, follow, all that good stuff. Y'all already know the deal. I'm on another campaign to get my followers up past 10,000 under the Medicine Ball page. So tell a friend to tell a friend, man. Like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Let's get right into it, man. So when I first came down here and was working at the crab shop, the crab house, and again, if that's foreign to you and you tapping in on this episode, you probably going to have to go back and listen to a few episodes to catch up and see what's going on. I'd like to thank y'all for y'all support. My numbers have consistently since day one been climbing. The interaction has been climbing. So make sure that you're reaching out to me and asking me more questions. I've been getting more engagement from my followers just by asking questions such as like, what do you do to juggle your mental health daily? Or what's one thing that you could do positive for the world each day? Things of that nature is generating more engagement. And y'all, this is new for me. I ain't even going to lie to you. With the way this commercial fishing is going and just the way that I be moving, you know, one day I might be making some garlic crab. The next day I might be, you know, lifting over the course of the day 15,000 pounds of fish, which is what I just went through. So it's been an experience. But me personally being a spiritual person and this being through Advent, I'm starting to see a lot of things that I believe can be helpful to the overall plan for this area or this chapter of my life. Even though it doesn't look anything like what I thought it was going to look like, I can see how I can put it together and make it happen. And of course, like, it's not on me. I always try to make sure that I give the glory and honor to God. Whether you like the way that I speak on this podcast, whether you're somebody I know in life who, you know, the ability to converse with you may help you out or see topics and ideas from a different point of view that you never thought of and get you to a better place, man, I don't take credit for none of it. And I want that to be clear. There's a lot of situations I feel today where people are taking credit and putting too much arrogance and just too much trust and faith in their own strength and their own abilities. And these are people who claim they're believers and spiritual. If you're not a believer, that's one thing. But if you're claiming you're a believer and you quote in scripture verses and whatnot, one thing we have to start practicing more, and I talked about it last week, I'm talking about it some more this week, is faith and just still pushing forward and living a righteous way, even though things look chaotic. So back to what I was saying, man, when I start
started working at this crab house, you know, and it has been a process, man. It's been like I come in as a rookie and you have to, you know, Peter, who's the head honcho, big crabber, told me there's no such thing as paying your dues. We all grown men, right? But there is a certain respect that you do have to gain, a certain knowledge that you do have to gain and have, and just a high work ethic. And that's one of the things that I see that's, you know, being built as far as my character and how I operate goes. But nevertheless, I started realizing pretty early on, these guys were all wearing white galoshes. And they were white, but the, you know, the water be so dirty, they had a nice coat of like dirt, fish smell, all that good stuff on it, man. And these guys took pride in wearing these white boots. Now, as I told y'all last week, like I'm starting to realize in a lot of aspects, especially when it comes to just hard work and working out, you know, with nature and animals, which pretty much what we're doing. I am considered a city guy. And in some cases, and this is just the terminology it was used, if you're listening to this podcast, you should not be offended by anything. But in some situations, they just called me a straight up Yankee. And being a guy, you know, from Atlanta who has lived up north, you know, New York, Ohio or area, things of that nature, it was just real shocking to me. I also started to understand that, you know, when you're walking around these towns and these areas where these commercial fishermen are, and you tell them that you're dealing with crabs or you're dealing with fish or something like that, if you know, you know, the people who know is going to look down at your feet. You see what I'm saying? Like, shout out to my man Jimmy Lee, right? This dude wear his boots darn near everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like a sense of pride. It's a sense of, you know, accomplishment. It's something to show that you actually out here doing this hard work on the water specifically. So even the guy who I thought was the weirdest or the corniest, if they was out here getting it in, they had on a pair of white boots. So, and I do mean everybody, you guys. I do mean everybody. Like, there might be one or two variations because it's the same type of boot. It might just be a different color. It might be a little lower. Everybody on the water had to have these galoshes. Now, along with that, you're going to have some slickers. But I wanted to talk about the white boots because as I've been down here, the white boots is a way to identify somebody who's doing the similar hard work as you. Somebody who's living that life, getting up at 3:30, 4 in the morning. Somebody who's having to lift a lot of traps, pull a lot of traps. And even the conversations that I have with the other commercial fishermen are starting to become more detailed and there's more respect there because I've been out enough to kind of know what I'm talking about. I just met up with a guy a couple of days ago and, you know, if you're not out on the water, you're not going to know what someone says when they say like, yo, the grass is crazy in the traps. You might not know what somebody says when they say, yo, the tide is too low to move around. You may get it in theory, but you're not going to understand that where your traps are, you got to go over these sandbars, bro. And depending on what type of boat you got, you know, that's why I think I've mentioned the skiff. I believe the skiff can operate in about 2 feet of water versus some of these bigger boats and V holes and whatnot. When the tides start getting crazy and going out, it's going to be hard for some of these bigger boats to clear these sand barges, these sandbars, and get down to some of these tight areas where the crabs may be migrated. Because you got to remember, most people might be like, yo, why are you even operating in these areas with that type of boat and taking the risk? Well, as I tell other people all the time, man, when you following a creature, they don't really have no day off. So even if you decide, yo, I'm going to sleep in today, that could be the day that all of the crabs are near your traps and you may need to rebait your traps. You see what I'm saying? You can't take no days off. So these white boots, right, they have started a whole, it's like a clique. It's like an organization. And even though you might not be working or fishing or crabbing with the other person who has those white boots on, there's an underlying respect there. So today's episode, I wanted to get into the white boots first to kind of let you guys know. Sometimes we overlook things that may be symbols. And again, I want to be careful here because with me being spiritual, I try to be aware of idolatry. I try to be aware of coveting things that aren't God, right? But there are certain foundations that you have to have and find and look to as a sign of the things that you have been through to get to where you're going. Now, from a spiritual aspect, it's going to be easier communication with God, easier ability to pray. When you run into trouble, and I know this one has been very big for me, and this is what I'm working for, you're not going to be so quick to depend on yourself and go into worry mode. You're going to get in the habit of praying and looking for scriptures that relate to what you're going through to push you through. And very early on when I was out here on these boats, and it's almost like a video game, I tell people, right? Because when I first got down here, I started off with a McAllister crab shirt. That's it. I had on some water shoes, some shorts, and a McAllister crab shirt. That's it. As things progress, then it's like, okay, boom. Now you get some crabber gloves, and they're these rubber gloves with the coating on them. It's different. It's not just like a regular kitchen glove, but it allows you to handle the crabs. And if you get pinched, because that's the other thing, don't be country. Pause, but double pause. Yo, let me just be clear. For all of y'all who like seafood, and specifically crustaceans, crabs don't bite you. You sound really country and weird when you're talking about I almost got bit by the crab. Crabs don't bite. They pinch, right? So anyway, I got these gloves that if you did get pinched by a crab, it would hurt less. You know what I mean? And you start to develop, you know, little techniques. Like me specifically, when I use those, you know, the grading, because you got to grade the crabs into different sizes and different categories. When I use those gloves, me personally, and these are tips that you only learn from being in the industry, I'm going to leave like maybe a half an inch to maybe a whole inch in the top of all my fingers. That way, when I deal with the crab and I get pinched on the tip of the finger, I could just slide my hand out the glove. You know what I'm saying? That's the pro tip for y'all, right? So it's like I started doing that. As I started going on the boats more, I started to get the slickers, which I told you guys about, which is like a raincoat, but a little bit thicker. It allows you to get the dirty, wet stuff from the traps. When you're shaking the traps or the water splashing up on you, it allows you to get all of that on you, but protect your initial layer of clothing. So even with the slickers, all slickers are not the same. So when I first started, I had some cheap slickers. You know, they're likely to rip. They don't have no pockets in them. So you just wearing this glorified raincoat. But as you get in the know, you realize, dag, there's two pieces to the slicker. So I started off with just the bottom part, which is like suspenders on this wet rain suit looking things. Go follow me online and social media if you want to go see what it is. But little did I know that on them rough days, which I did learn about, when it gets cold, when it gets windy and it's tedious and tumultuous, it's another part of the slicker suit, which is the top part. So you have the suspender part that come up to like your chest, but then you can throw this whole coat on with the hood, and it also gives you insulation. So you get that. Boom, you get a stone crab grater. You know what I'm saying? These are just things that I'm accumulating that I'm telling y'all about. Stone crab claw grater, man. When you dealing with stone crab, which is my favorite crustacean, by the way, you're not killing the whole crab. You're not taking the whole crab. You literally have to go fight this little creature on the boat at whatever time of day it is. Depending on the size he is, they're stronger than blue crab. You got to fight him and take his claw off and then measure, make sure it's of size, and then throw him back. I'm going to leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say nothing else about that. What else did I start to accumulate? So there's the crabber grading gloves, but then there's the general work gloves. And I think the pronunciation is nurdle, but it has a nurdle coating on it. And it allows you to grab these traps, man. You grabbing puffer fish, you grabbing flounder, you grabbing catfish, you grabbing angelfish. This is all stuff you may have to clear the trap of before you can dump the crabs into their designated crate. Otherwise, you may have one of these old grumpy men like I had who's going to complain about everything that's in the crab crate that's not a crab, whether it be a conch shell, whether it be a piece of grass, whether it be that old nasty bait that's been sitting under the water or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? These are all things that you just learn. So eventually, I start working with Jimmy Lee, and he gives me a loaner pair of boots. So this at this point that I'm starting to feel a little bit more official. I'm getting waterproof devices. I'm starting to up my game and understand what's going on out there. Side note, if you crabbing or you doing any kind of cast netting or fishing on a boat that's real life commercial fishermen, yo, don't go out there cute with no AirPods. Don't go out there cute with no AirPods, man. I remember when I lost my first pair of AirPods about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, and I had to get another pair. But, bro, nothing's going to make you more frustrating than going to find my device and it's saying something like, yo, yeah, your left AirPod is last seen in Estero Bay. It's going to make you mad. It's going to make you irate. One of my friends just lost an AirPod, and he was so mad. I used to be like this, but, you know, it's just an age thing. He was so mad that he threw the other AirPod into the water, which I wouldn't do. But I eventually lost both of them. So eventually, you know, when Peter Top Dog the Crab, you know, and Misty, who is Savannah or Barbie's mom, the two business owners, get back. Kind of as a token of appreciation for me being able to ride out the summer part of this, they bought me my fresh pair of white boots, man. And I was so excited that I think for the first, I don't know, I gotta go out there and check. But I'm pretty sure for the first month or two, I ain't even wear them. I just kept wearing the old boots because they were so white and crispy. And it was a sense of accomplishment. It's a sense of pride. It's a thing to be proud of because at the bare minimum with those boots on, people are going to look at you differently when you say you're a commercial fisherman. There's no way you're going to be walking around without white boots on in this area at one point or another and say you're doing commercial fishing. And, so, and everybody, sooner or later, somebody's not going to take you serious because if you know, you know. So I just wanted to give you guys the white boots because what I'm getting to is a bigger point. Like sometimes we are so focused on like what's next. You know what I'm saying? What can we accomplish next? What is the next goal? What is the next thing that we're seeking to do that is very easy for us as humans to overlook where we came from and where we're currently at? And I think, you know, a lot of times if people were to stop and to think about, you know, maybe circumstances and situations that they came from versus where they currently are, you got to have something to compare it to. I mean, I tell people all the time when I'm mentoring them or counseling them or speaking to them on the phone or something like that, like you have to get your victories and you have to like, the mind is already a rough place, especially if you don't have no awareness. You see what I'm saying? It's going to bother you with anxiety, worry, doubts, fears, you know what I mean? Insecurities. It's going to do that. The brain is very powerful. So I always tell people it's already, you know what I'm saying, something that you have to deal with constantly. Why not make your mind an okay place to chill? You know what I'm saying? If you can't chill with yourself or you can't be by yourself or you can't be within your thoughts or you can't chill within your thoughts, you're going to have an issue. And the first thing we can do to combat that is to start, I call it fighting back, man. I mean, me personally, I'm not going to sit in my room and just lick my wounds all day and talk about a sucky position or a adverse situation that I'm in. It's just not in me. I'm going to get enough anger in me, the right type of anger, to where I'm determined to handle whatever it is that's bothering me. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we need a symbolization or something that tells, and again, I want to be careful. I'm not talking idolatry. I'm just talking a reminder for the things that we've done. You know what I'm saying? I just recently said like 2 weeks ago, when I was young, I would definitely tell you, yeah, I'm going to have a house in Oregon. I'm going to have a house in Georgia. I'm going to have a house in Florida. They're going to be these big old mansions and da 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 da. Now, of course, when you're younger, you don't know how finances and the market and everything works. It's a dream. You see what I'm saying? So it's easy sometimes, I think, for us to get childish, and I don't want to say childish, but just younger dreams mixed up with where we currently are, because I had to stop and tell myself, like, bro, you currently have a spot in two of the literally hottest and but like dopest places to live in the country right now. There's people out here who don't have a house. There's people who don't have a family or support system. So it's not really righteous and it's really arrogant of me to really be too upset about any situation that I'm in right now. Does that mean it don't get tough? Nah, I don't mean that. But it just mean like before we start complaining about things and just moving on to the next thing, especially if you're a believer, bro, we got to take time to like acknowledge where we are and enjoy the moment. Don't be so quick to get to the next goal or the next achievement that you won't enjoy the goal or achievement you just accomplished. And I think as humans, we're really guilty of that. So white boots, those are the white boots. Now, the second part of the title is white caps. And I'm loving this because I know that y'all know I like to play with words, but we're not talking the caps that go on your head. We're not talking any type of clothing when I say white caps, all right? So, you know, I'm learning new lingo and I'm learning new names for things. And one of the names that caught my attention was salty. Like, certain fishermen who would go out or certain crabbers who would go out in certain situations, they would call them salty. And I didn't really understand what that meant until this mullet season ran around. So, you know, when it comes to water navigation, things that you and I probably overlook, well, I ain't gonna say you and I no more, but most people probably overlook, especially if they've never been around that, it's the little things. Like, that we know. For instance, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. When you out there on that water and there's a horizon and you don't know where you're going, that's crucial, you know what I mean, to know how the sun is, because if you keep your sun on your right side, then technically you should be heading north. You see what I'm saying? If the sun is on your left side, then you're probably heading south. You see what I mean? So it's things like that you learn. It's things that, like, that I spoke about last time that are critical, such as low tide. And it's just like, bruh, the moon and the way that it plays with the water and the tides, all of that is knowledge available for a reason, especially if you commercially fish. Let's talk about that real quick before I get into these white caps. Man, when the tide is low, it could change your entire day, right? Because if you have traps in shallow water, you may not be able to access those traps until the tide straightens out. And it might be a situation where tide starts getting low at like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. in the morning and won't start coming back in till 10 p.m. Or the tide might start getting, and this is what they prefer, the tide get low at night and start coming back in the morning. That's almost perfect tide conditions, but it affects the way you launch at the boat ramp. It affects the people around you and their ability to navigate the water. It's just so much that happens when the tide is low. When the tide is high, you know, it's not always a good thing, because true, you have more water, but one thing that most people don't understand, even if they understand the tides, is that those winds, W-I-N-D-S, winds, the wind, man, it is critical. Because say, for instance, you have a tide that's low and it's going out, but you have a northeast wind that's helping to blow that out. That's going to make it some situations where in those areas of low tide, man, it can almost be so low that you can see the bottom of the, you know, underneath the water, because the tide has been going out because of the gravitational pull. But also with the wind that's pushing it, it makes for it to move out or in that much faster. During this mullet fishing, what these guys are looking for is some type of cold front. Now, even with that, when you're looking for a cold front, you're looking for a change in the air and the air pressure that's going to cause some winds, colder weather, and most likely some rain. Those, in some situations, are ideal situations for somebody trying to mullet fish. Now, the issue that arrives is when it's windy and the water's moving and it starts blowing this water everywhere, next time you go over a bridge, and it has to be a sufficient amount of water, right? It can't be no little creek. It can't be no baby lake. It has to be something that's maybe a gulf or a bigger lake or a river or the ocean. What you will start to see is when you look out on the ocean, there's two different things when it comes to the water. It can be calm. Fishermen refer to this as it looks like glass. That's where the water is so still and so smooth as you're going across it. It looks like literally glass. And that's advantageous because then you can see things that the average person might overlook, such as the little foam bubbles that come up from the bottom, or the tilapia or whatever fish it is hitting the top of the water. That kind of stuff is much more clear. And when you're cast netting, it is a tremendous advantage for it to be still. But when it's rough, I want y'all to look next time you go to a beach or something like that, or even on TV. When you see the white foam at the top of the baby waves, those are called white caps. And that is an indication that the water itself is very, very rough. And you have to understand, some of these folks have different boats. Not all boats have an enclosed, I'm trying to think about how I can explain it, an enclosed deck. Like, you know, a boat deck might have the sides so that you can have somewhere to keep from just walking straight into the water. There's like a side there, right, on most boats. Some of these boats that these fishermen have, due to the fact that they're throwing cast nets, they don't have those sides. So if you were to just walk straight, there wouldn't be no railing or guarding to stop you from walking straight into the water. Now, imagine that when you're throwing a cast net. And some of these guys choose to sleep on their boat. And that's about where I draw the line. I'm not sleeping on a boat with no rails guarding it, and it's white caps and the water is rough, tossing and turning. Because the time you fall asleep, you hit a deep wave, bro. You have slickers on. You go into that water, you have to think fast, because when you go into the water, it doesn't matter if you can swim. Can you get your boots off before the water fills them up and weighs you down? Do you know how to get your slickers off before that fills up and becomes something that's ultimately filled with water and weighing you down? Because if you don't know how to do that, I don't give a darn how good you can swim. You could be Michael Phelps. You going down like Mary J. Blige. You feel me? So the white caps is something that I really looked at, and I could see people that I know, and Jimmy Lee is one of them. These people going out when it's been raining for a whole day and the wind is blowing. So like, man, I'm blessed that my view of my backyard has the palm trees in it. But man, a couple of days ago, it looks like one of those reporters who's reporting on the H word. I don't even want to say it, a hurricane, right? And the palm trees are just blowing so hard, they're leaning to the side. And I think I had an episode about this called Palm Tree Life and the ability to sway when the wind and things get tough. But it could be very intimidating, because at that point, it doesn't matter what your knowledge of the water is. It doesn't matter what your skill level is when it comes to swimming or getting tossed over. And here's the other thing people don't think about. When you out there on that water, chances are you doing something physical or physically exhausting anyway. Whether it be pulling 300 crab traps or throwing a cast net that has 300 pounds worth of fish in it, you're already tired. So I got to thinking about the dedication of some of these fishermen during these tumultuous waters, you know what I mean, during these white caps, during these rough waters and this rain and this cold weather, still out there throwing this net, trying to pull in 1, 2, 3,000 pounds worth of fish, because that's how they eat. You know, the fishing industry is different. It might be like this for 3 months where you can fish all three, stone crab, blue crab, and mullet and whatever, and then for the next 6 months you don't have that opportunity. So it's important that they get out there no matter what they do, no matter what they feel like, and get to the money. And I started thinking about, as we go through Advent and I'm still, you know, active in church and whatnot, I started thinking about how oftentimes the waters can get rough with our life. It could be white caps in our life. And just like out there on that boat, the last thing you need to do is panic. You have to trust in your ability. And to be honest, if they spiritual, these folks are having a lot of faith that things are going to work out. And sometimes it's the drive for the fishermen to get that big payday that pushes them through these tough situations. And for me in life, as we dealing with Advent and coming up on Christmas and spirituality, your faith is going to be tested. I tell people this all the time, and I have to tell them so I can tell myself, God don't need no weak warriors. He needs people who can stand tough trials. Think about Job. Think about David. Think about Solomon. Think about Jesus. None of these people had an easy life. And that's what I always try to tell myself and those who are believers. Just because you're a believer and you're praying and you're going to church and you're trying to follow the commandments and live within the Holy Spirit, bro. And this is one of the key things that I think confuses a lot of people when it comes to Christianity specifically. That doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life. And to be completely honest with you, if you're living by the Bible and living biblically, it actually says the exact opposite. There are many verses that speak to, in this world you will have trouble and you should not be of this world. And the upside down kingdom, which is the idea of people doing things a completely different way from the earthly way. And as I go through this time, where within about a month and a half process, I've done everything from stone crab, blue crab, mullet fish, tilapia fish, cooked garlic crabs, unload major roe from the fish, which is the fish eggs, and it's crazy. And I realized that one of my things that I want to work on is the ability to be adaptable and move around in any situation and keep going. I know I struggle with that. I know that I have had in the past that possibility to let anxiousness or anxiety outdo me or get the best of me. And I want to let y'all know there's only a few ways for you to get better at dealing with the adversity that life is guaranteed to give you. And I want to make this clear, because I hear this all the time. Yo, I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm honoring my mother and my father. I'm being kind to my neighbor. I'm treating people as they would want to be treated. Why is things not just a cakewalk? Well, go look at the Bible. Are you greater than Jesus? Jesus got crucified. And based on the biblical stories, he did no wrong ever. And he was killed. So I think sometimes if we're believers or spiritual, or even if you're not a believer and you know the story and you're going through something tough, we have to remember that the way that you live and the way that you go about things, and it's really joy. right? Let's get into that real quick. It's really joy. Joy is a mood and a mindset and a way of going about things in a positive, righteous way, because you know God's character, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of these white caps throwing your boat to and fro. You have to move, act, and treat people in a way that's not dependent upon your circumstances. I often tell people all the time, you know, if you want to say that you're a nice person, well, you have to ask yourself, like, is your niceness dependent on that other person being nice to you? Because people who are truly kind and empathetic and loving and nice, they're going to be that way regardless of what's going on around them and regardless of how the other person acts. I get really annoyed at people who say things like, yo, I'm going to give you the energy that you give me. Where does it say that in the Bible? Where in the Bible does it say, yo, give people the same energy? It don't say that. It say if somebody take your shirt, you should offer them your coat. It say if somebody slap you, you should turn the other cheek. And it says that. And I think way too often people get into this space to where it's more important than the next person. That can often, you know, mess us up and throw us for a loop. So on this episode, I talked about white boots and what they symbolize, your work ethic, you know, some type of respect among the commercial fisherman community. But I more importantly talked about us being able to look at our accomplishments and looking at the things that are signs of our accomplishments and the things that we've overcome instead of rushing to get to the next thing, you know. Even myself, I had to tell myself, like, bro, less than a year ago, you couldn't even clean a fish. You feel me? You couldn't catch a fish. I feel confident now that if it hit the fan and I needed to be able to catch fish or something like that, I could survive. I don't know if I could necessarily go and make $1 million off of fish, but if I needed to catch something in order to feed myself, I feel more than confident I could survive. And those white caps, which are those rough seas, that unknown water, just like I told y'all, we in a mullet season right now. Some of these fishermen, their livelihood and well-being going into this next year depends on them going over those white caps and that adversity, being out there in that rough water. And I'm not going to lie to you, I ain't built for it. I had to tell my man Jimmy Lee, he wanted to go out at like 10 o'clock at night one night when the wind was blowing. I was like, bruh, I'm not built for that. And I'm not even arrogant enough to just think that I can just go do that. I'm probably going to slow you down or be more of a burden. You know what I'm saying? And in a lot of ways, I think he respected that. But the thing I need everybody to understand as you listening to this is sometimes you might be in a situation where just because situation is rough or the waters are tough or you're going through some adversity, you can't necessarily stop. You can't necessarily run from it. You can't have to get in a mindset, especially when it comes to spirituality and being here for a purpose. Right. Especially if you're somebody who leading other people, we have to get into a mindset that the only way we're going to get better, and you never get better at dealing with adversity. You just get better with how you mentally take it on. You know what I mean? I remember, years ago, if I got a flat tire, that would totally throw me off. That would throw my budget off. That would throw my mood for the day off. That would throw everything off how I interacted with people. Now, as I get a little bit more mature and I've learned to, you know, take these steps when the white caps get to roll and to still be able to push through it, it doesn't annoy me as much. It affords me a chance to stop sometimes. And I ain't even gonna lie to you. Yo, God, thank you that I got a car that could even have car problems. I know it sounds corny, but we have to be able to go through the white caps and the rough seas and the adversity, because sometimes our purpose may depend on it. Our livelihood may depend on it. Our spirituality or relationship or faith in God may depend on it. You know, imagine if over the summer when I had some of my tougher spots, I was just like, yo, I'm out. I ain't got to do this. Where would I be? What would that have done for my character? Tapping out, quitting, and giving up 10 times out of 10 is always the easiest thing to do because it requires no further action from you. Pushing through, having a conversation, getting some understanding, challenging yourself. These are all things that you can cultivate if you just continue to ride regardless of the white caps on the tough sea. All right. This has been season 6, episode 6, White Boots and White Caps, man. Hopefully I was able to bring you guys something. Yo, real quick, this is Christmas week. I'm probably not going to do a podcast episode this week as I'm traveling back to Georgia. I need to spend some time with my family and get some things together. And you guys need to as well spend some time with your family. I will let you know that the plan is to do another giveaway here shortly. And once I get back up to Atlanta, I have maybe like 4 or 5 interviews lined up with various people, whether they be accountability partners, whether they be my frat brothers who have done things. You know, I got a couple of doctors I'm trying to get on here who have been, I don't want to give y'all too much, but I got some stuff up my sleeve. I just ask that y'all like, subscribe, follow, and share. We do have the Medicine Ball newsletter. Go hit my website at www.medicineballls3.com, and I believe it's going to be a pop-up that asks you if you want to subscribe to the newsletter. I appreciate all of you guys working with me and commenting and, you know, the interactions with some of the questions and whatnot. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, on all of that stuff. Yo, y'all have a very, very Merry Christmas. And remember, no matter how turbulent it gets, when the white caps start rolling, you got to look at the situation. You may still have to face that. All right. I love y'all. Y'all stay up until next week. This has been Medicine Ball. Yeah, yeah.